back, all I could see was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past. Bound up in shackles of all my failures. Wondering how long is this gonna last? Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight, it's already been won, and I am redeemed. You set me free, so I shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I am redeemed.
Thank God.
All my life I have been called unworthy. The voice of my shame and regret. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head, I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. 'Cause I am redeemed. You said, shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. I don't have to be the old man inside of me, 'cause his day is long dead and gone. I've got a new name, a new life. And I hope that will carry me home, 'cause I am redeemed, 'cause you set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be.
Join that, say amen. Lord have mercy, I'm glad I'm redeemed this morning. Good to be saved.
Good to be saved. That word saved, that's a good Bible word. Amen. We didn't turn over a new leaf. We didn't start a new track. We got saved. I got saved. I know I got saved. I don't know about you, but I got saved. Amen. Some of them must have got saved. Saved, S-A-L-V-E-D, saved, but we got saved by God's grace. All right, boy, it's good to see everybody here this morning. Thank God, brother, that was a good song. Let's be back tonight. You don't want to miss tonight's service. If you're first time visiting with us this morning, you come back. We got people all over the church this morning that maybe visits regular. We're really glad that y'all are here. All y'all, that big family back there, isn't that a blessing? And there's two suspicious-looking characters right back there, y'all. People's asked me, are they terrorists? Are they a pulpit committee? Raise your hand back there, boys. I tell you, I don't know what they are, really. But you better watch out for them. Anybody from Lenore, you got to watch out for me. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. I appreciate y'all being here this morning. Everybody, it's good to be here and good to be saved. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 13. Just a minute this morning. Proverbs chapter 13. The message this morning is in the form of a reminder and a warning. There's plenty of warnings in God's Word. I'll give you one this morning. Proverbs chapter 13. Very well known verse. Verse number 15. Proverbs 13, verse number 15. Look at it. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. I preach this message a lot of different ways. I've never preached it as the way I'm going to this morning. The way of transgressor is hard. You may be here this morning, living your life, doing whatever you want to do, going wherever you want to go, doing your own thing, sinning. But I'm going to tell you something. That book said your life is going to be hard. The more you sin, the more hard your life is going to be. I'm looking at some people today that ain't sitting in here this morning that you're rebelling against God, doing your own thing. You say, I'm going to do what I want to. I'm tired of going to church. I'm tired of living a certain way. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to tell you, that's your freedom to do it, but you're headed for a hard life. The way the transgressor is hard. I want to preach four things about it this morning, and I want everybody to give me your attention. You listen? Number one, the way of sin is the way of bitterness. Maybe you used to cry in church. You used to sit there when the choir would get going like it did a while ago. Boy, that choir start singing. There'd be a big old tear swell up, start running down your cheek. You could start feeling, it felt like dynamite inside your chest. You're saying, Lord of God, yes, I know what you're doing. But you know what? The more you sin, the more bitter you become. I know a lot of people that are just bitter church members. Bitter. And the reason they do it, like that, is because they're sinning. You may not be out drinking. You may not be out partying. You may not be out committing some kind of big immoral atrocity of sin. But you may be just being full of pride and backslid and unbelief and jealousy, and you got bitter. You can get bitter. You can get bitter. If you're not careful, you can sit right in the house of God and get bitter. Oh, Solomon, you know what he said one time? He said, I've tried everything. He said, I've tried it. Vanity of vanities. He said, I've tried everything there is. He said, I didn't hold nothing back. He had the money to do it. Solomon had the money. He could have anything they want. And you may not believe this. They could have luxuries back in them days. He could hire people to come in and do whatever he wanted. He had 700 wives, 300 concubines, camels, sheep, solid gold palace. Listen, Solomon could hire Bill Gates to mow his grass. I mean, these guys now, they have nothing compared to what King Solomon had in the Old Testament. You know what he said when he had everything? He said, it's vanity. He said, it does not satisfy. There's something deep down inside that's still lacking that only the Lord can survive. He said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I can tell when a person loses their victory because they lose that edge. Instead of looking forward to coming to church, you begin to dread coming to church. And you begin the way of bitterness. The way of a transgressor is hard. But I want to say, second, the way of a transgressor is the way of slavery. You start out playing with sin, and then it goes too far. Then you get hooked. And then the next thing you know, you're addicted to it. You hear me? I said you start out playing with sin, and then you go a little bit too far, and then you're hooked. When a man goes fishing, he hides the hook with the bait. And the devil does the same thing. He's got a hook for you, but he hides it in the bait. With a pretty woman, or a nice looking man, or a job offer, or a or something. He'll hide the hook inside the bait. And the way of sin is the way of slavery, ladies and gentlemen. You become a slave to your sin. And the devil will get you hooked on it. It doesn't matter if it's alcohol, drugs, pornography, money, lying, stealing, whatever. Homes and churches and families are ripped apart when we allow ourselves to go into transgression. I got a phone call from a man this week. He called me. He said, "Brother Danny," he said, "please pray for my son." I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "He's back on that stuff again. He got back on drugs. They thought he had the victory two or three times. But you know what? He kept going back, pills, snort." Said, "We found a bag of needles where he'd been shooting up in his arm." And I'm going to tell you something. For all you people in here that's been delivered from that, you're living the victory this morning, you can't play with it. Matter of fact, any sin that you used to commit and you have now been delivered from it, you cannot afford to go back. Not one time. You don't need to be hanging around the drug dealer. You don't need to be hanging around the places that sell alcohol. You know, all it takes is one slip and you can be right back in your old sin. You listen to me? It broke my heart when I heard a story the other day, and this is a true story, so don't lie. The man said in a newspaper article, and a preacher was reading it, and he said there was a woman who decided a few years ago that she was going to go on a diet. He said she did not eat one carb, not one carb for like a year and a half, not one. No fat, no bread, no sugar, no potatoes, no nothing. Total no carb diet. She stayed on that diet and lost 120 pounds in a year and a half. Lost 120 pounds. And she told her husband, she said, "I feel so good." She said, I can't even stand the thoughts of nothing sweet. She said, "I've got the victory." She said, I it don't bother me a bit. And he said, "Are you sure, honey?" She said, "No." She said, "It makes me sick to even think about it now." And it came up his birthday. And she made him a coconut cake. And that was his favorite cake. And he told her, he said, "That's what I want." He said, "Are you sure that you're going to be able to have this coconut cake in the house without being tempted to go back on what?" She said, "Sure." She said, "It don't bother me one bit at all." And he said, "Okay." And she ground that fresh coconut. And what she put, making a 4-layer coconut cake. I mean, a layer of cake, layer of icing. Layer of cake, layer of icing. Moist, wet, soft. Hurry up. Let's go to Golden Corral. I'm going to quit right here. You got the rest of the message, don't you? Let's just say amen and go. I'm just kidding. Layer of cake, layer of icing. Layer of cake, layer of icing. Layer of cake, I mean all the way up, and sprinkle that fresh coconut on top of it. His favorite. And they said, he was at work that day. She made that cake. And she decided that she was going to take one bite of that cake. She took one bite of that icing and that cake and put it in her mouth. And boy, her body immediately responded. He came home that evening and he's coming to the house and said, "Honey, where you at?" He couldn't find her. He said, "Honey, where you at?" He couldn't find her. He went in the bedroom and she was laying across the bed. She had eaten like over 2/3 of that cake. She was in a diabetic coma. They had to call the ambulance. She come that close to dying. And their body just could not handle all that sugar all at the same time. You know, I said that. I said that to say this. All it takes is one drink, y'all. All it takes is one smoke of one joint. All it takes, listen, you can't play with sin. Are y'all listening to me this morning? Just one little time. You say, "Well, I've been living right for 2 years. It ain't going to hurt me to go out here and taste a little bit." Yeah, and you'll find out that you play with fire, you're going to get burned. I'm telling you this morning, the way of the sinner is the way of slavery. Many ministries are ruined. Preachers' lives are ruined. Homes are tore up. Divorce courts are full. Children grow up not knowing where their family is because of what sin? All it takes is one night of sin, one night of pleasure, and your life is going down. It just takes letting sin back in your heart that much for it to take over your life. I said, the way of sin, the way of slavery. Amen. I'm going to say number three. Number three, the way of sin is the way of hardness of heart. It's the way of hardness of heart. You go here preaching, you'll sit and cry. Let me tell you how dangerous this is. You want me to tell you the person in here this morning that's in danger? You that got through listening to what I just said and said, I don't care what he says, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do that. You're getting yourself in trouble. You'll never get out of. I'm telling you, when God says don't do something, you better listen to what God. God don't say don't do something and then say there's no consequences. There's always consequences. You think, well, I'm mature, I can handle it, preacher. Some of these young people, they can't handle it, but I can handle it. No, you can't. You can't, I can't, nobody can. Nobody can handle a little bit of sin. Nobody can. The way of transgressors is hard. I'm telling you, you're going to be in the way of hardness of heart. The next time you hear it, hey, it don't bother you as much. The next time you hear it, it don't bother you as much. Every time you harden your heart against God, every time you hear a preacher preach and refuse to obey the Word of God, your heart gets harder and harder and harder and harder. I'm going to say something to you this morning. I'm not a prophet. I'm neither the son of a prophet. I don't have any kind of special gift of seeing the future or nothing like that. But I'm going by what I know from the past. I'm basing the future on what I've seen from the past. And I'm going to tell you people something right now. There's some people sitting in this room this morning that you're on your way out. If you don't get something straight with God. And you're going to reap it in your kids. You're going to reap it in your grandkids. You're going to reap it. You think you can just play around. You sit there and you think, I don't care what he says. I'm going to party on Friday. I'm going to live like I want to. And I can quit anytime I want. No, you can't. Sin will wrap its clutches around your life. And sin will get a hold of you. And when you do want to get loose, you can't feel God. You can't feel conviction. You can't feel no. I'm telling you, you can't play with it, people. You think I'm old-fashioned. You think I'm just an old screaming, hollering preacher. I'm telling you what God laid on my heart. You can't play with sin and expect to get by with it. You ain't too spiritual. I ain't too spiritual. God's waiting on you. God's waiting on you. You listen to me this morning. God's waiting on you. Dude, He's waiting on you. You better listen. I want to say number four this morning. The way of sin is the way of death. The way of sin is the way of death. Plenty of people go to an early grave because they played with sin one time too many. You see, when you're lost, when you're a lost sinner, a lot of times you're just full of the devil and don't even realize what you're doing. After you're saved, you know better. And after you're saved, you know what's right and what's wrong. And it's way, way worse for a saved person than it is for a lost person to go against God. Because you're sinning against the light. You're stepping on Jesus' blood. You're saying, appreciate what you've done for me, Lord, but I'm doing what I want to do. It's a dangerous thing. I read a message of an old famous preacher by the name of Sam Jones. Sam Jones was a great evangelist in America back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And one of the last messages he ever preached, he preached on the verse in Proverbs that said, he that being often reproved and hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. That's the verse that says, if you've been told, and you've been told, and you've been told, and you've been told, and you keep doing what you're doing, that God will cut you off without a chance to pray, without a chance to get right, without a chance. That's what he said in Proverbs 29 verse 1. And he said one night he's preaching, and he had this tent revival, this big tent meeting going on. And he said, there's a young man at the back. And this young guy looked at the preacher and he said, I've heard enough of this junk. And turned on one foot and spun around like that and walked out back, I think it was around 1905. Walked across the parking lot, train tracks coming down there. Back then, they would ride the train to town. Train was coming down about 15 miles an hour down the track. They would catch on it. And he jumped up on there and grabbed a hold of those rails on that car. Was going to ride to the town. And his hand slipped and fell. And underneath those wheels of that railroad car and crushed the life out of him before the preacher even got through. He turned around and said, I've had enough of this, and walked out that door and never lived another 5 minutes. Oh, you're just trying to scare. I'm telling you the truth. It happened. I heard about a church not far from here where a lady rode the bus to church one Sunday, didn't get right with God, preacher gave the invitation, went and sat out on the church bus and died sitting in the church bus before they ever left the parking lot. The Bible said the way of a transgressor is hard. I'll tell you this story and I'm going to be through in a minute. Several years back, it's a true story. There's a young businessman in North Carolina. Had a beautiful wife and two little kids. And this man was in the car business, actually. He sold cars, had a beautiful wife and two kids. He went down and bought his wife a new car. And he said she could pick out anything she wanted on a car lot, brand new one. And she went to the dealership. They dealt with a nice salesman. And this salesman talked to him, and they bought her a car and paid. Said she'll be by here to get it in a day or two. The day come when the car got ready, that woman went down that car lot and picked that car up. And as just strictly business, strictly being cordial, that salesman bent over to that car and handed her his card and said, here you are. Here's my personal number. If there's ever anything I can do for you, give me a call. Strictly business. Professional. But the devil got in that little bitty crack right there. Now you listening now, ain't you? And a few days later, he did get a phone call. And it was that woman. They began to talk on the phone. It grew to an infatuation. It grew to friendship. And then the next thing you know, they were sneaking around, meeting each other. I'm telling you about good Christian people that go to church every Sunday. And you think I can flirt around a little bit. That'll never happen to me. It can happen to anybody in here. They begin to meet. They begin to see each other. Next thing you know, it was a full-blown adulterous affair. That businessman was sitting at his office one day. Telephone rang. Somebody on the phone, they said, brother, he went to church with him. He said, I hate to tell you this, but he said, I feel like somebody needs to tell you. He said, I'm sitting right now in the parking lot of a motel in Spartanburg, South Carolina. He said, I'm sitting in the parking lot. I just saw your wife and that man go in room such and such on the second floor and told him what room they went in. That man went into a rage. He's not blood thrust to his head. He went crazy. When you first hear that, brother, you talking about bad news. He grabbed his pistol. He walked out, got in his car, and drove to that motel and parked in the motel and went to the front desk. He said, ma'am, he said, I'm staying in room 200 something like that. He said, and I've lost my key. Can you give me a key? And without even asking, she made him another one of them keys and handed it to him. He went up that elevator, that pistol in his pocket, put that key in that little slot, opened that door, and walked in. He could hear them laughing in the bathroom. The shower was running. One of them was in the shower. The other one was laughing. He said he pulled that door open like that, and he held that pistol out, and his wife screamed, no! No! Honey, no! And before she could say no, bah! Bah! Bullets right in her head and in her chest. She fell over into the bathtub, water running everywhere, mixed with her blood, ran all over that place. And that man said, wait, no, my God, wait, we can talk, we can get past this, we can stop. Bow! 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 He fell in there dead too. He turned around and walked out, left them laying in there. The shower still running. They said their blood was mixed with water. It was coming over that bathtub like Niagara Falls, mixed with blood and water. And finally, it run down through the cracks into the room below them. And somebody down there cried out and they said, I don't know what this is coming down through the ceiling. It looks like it's awful looking. It looks red. And they called the authorities and they went up there and they found them, the water and the blood mixed together, shower still running, bathtub full, them laying there dead. They found out immediately who did it. He went home, took that same pistol, put it to his head, bang, blew his brains out. Lives lost, lives destroyed. Two kids had to grow up without their mom and daddy. Lives messed up forever. It can never be reversed. It can never be changed. All because one day he took just a little step too far. Messed around with sin. The Bible said the way of a transgressor is hard. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but I guarantee it. There's somebody in here flirting something you ain't got no business flirting with. And here's the way it goes. God's giving you a warning right now. If you don't listen, He's able to talk a lot louder than this. I knew a guy one time messed around like that and went and heard a preacher preach, and that preacher got up and done everything. If he hadn't known better, he'd have thought, he knows and he's talking to me. But he wasn't. That preacher didn't know nothing. And God gave him a warning. And you know what he did? He said, I want to play around just a little bit longer. One more weekend. One more weekend. One more weekend. See, when you start sinning, it gets in you. You think, I can quit anytime I want to. But you don't, do you? You keep going back. You keep going back. And you keep going back. And you know what the Lord did? He liked to knock that guy's head off. He got it. Lost everything he had. I'm telling you this morning, and I'm through. I'm all about grace. You ain't never seen nobody believes in the grace of God no more than I do. But I'm going to tell you something else, people. Sin will get you in more trouble than you can ever get out of. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Nobody's moving. Nobody's talking. Nobody's leaving. God's speaking to hearts right now.